The subject of time and space, unless it's met now, will keep us in a material universe, because time and space are the pavement on which the material universe runs. When you get rid of time and space, you're automatically getting rid of matter. So the way to getting rid of the sense of body will come through your eliminating time and space. There is a necessity to dwell on this subject for a long time, but there is that necessity to do it, because if you don't, you're going to stay mired. In the Bible, we see many cases where individuals were captive in time and space. They received an ailment. They accepted it. And they went 25 years with the ailment, or they went 5 years or 10 years. But they were subject to dismissal of the ailment at any moment that they realized there was no time. The cripple who had been infirm for many years thought he had it as long as he was a child, and he had it now. It never occurred to him that he had carried it with him as an image in his mind all these years. Let's look at our own lives and the errors that we have experienced. Suppose we had had the ability to step out of time, or to see that we never had been in time, then that which we received in time wouldn't be true. I've known of people who have healed themselves that way. Let's take a young boy. In time, he had a disease called, I can't think of it at the moment. It was one of those paralyzing diseases. And he got out of paralysis, but the effects of the disease still were with him. He didn't know anything about the fact that it only occurred in time, and he had that problem all his life. But suppose he had known that what had first infected him only occurred after he had accepted time as the place where he was living. We all think that time preceded us. We came into the universal belief of time. And if we were able to transcend time, not only would we transcend that which was a necessity for the illusion of a disease, but we would have ascended beyond the belief that there was a body in time. We would have lost the opportunity to be infected by any disease on the face of the earth, and we would have been free. The concept of time is so completely illusory that man has never become aware of it. He thinks that everything that happens to him is happening. But the complete cycle of time-life is the basis of the illusion. You were never in time. You were never born 100 years ago. You were never born 500 years ago. You carry the illusion of birth from one incarnation to the other, because you carry the illusion of time from one incarnation to another. Why do we grow old? Because we think the years come one after another. When you break the illusion of time and see that it never existed, you will understand why God has no age. God does not grow older in time. And God never created anything in time either. God never created time. There isn't a thing in man's world that is the truth. Everything in man's world is an illusion that he must overcome. And the sooner you get busy with the tougher illusions, the easy ones will just follow. What are we looking for? Our goals are all man-made goals. And where do they get us? They get us in a corner. At the age of 70, a man's man-made goals are kind of useless. He may have a few achievements between the ages of 70 and 80, and then where is he going to go? Where is he going to borrow the energy? So we are digging our own graves, literally, unless we get out of it into the free universe of spirit. If that universe is becoming real to you, if you're feeling the presence of some enchantment, of something that never grows old, of something that outlasts a man, not because it's a mountain or a body of water, but because it's something that spreads joy and happiness and harmony and never seems to stop. That's the world we want to get into. To lay down the garment of mortality, which has bound the human race since it can name its beginning, and has chained everyone to a similar procession for a similar number of years. It really is now an old-fashioned way of life. We're in a new age. We're in an age of spirit where the young stay young, where the harmony of God becomes a living factor in people's lives, where life is not 80. Where life is limited to nothing, and where we do not have a parenthesis around infinity. Well, we ourselves are infinite. Well, that's the birthright we inherited. I want to speak to those of you who know they are infinite. You are infinite in every perfect quality of God. You are infinite love. Not a little lid of love directed at one person. And not that kind of love. A total love. A love which seeks nothing. A love which gives all. A love which knows the thrill of sharing. Infinite deeds. A love that is as big as God's love. When you give infinite love, you have to step aside and let it flow through you. It's the kind of love that won't bring any harm to any individual. It's the kind of love that will see everyone living as the Christ, whether they do in the visible or not. And unless you're expressing infinite love, something in you is blocking your being, because it's your nature to express infinite love as the Christ. Infinite harmony is your nature. There's nothing else you can do. Infinite harmony follows the Christ wherever the Christ goes. Infinite intelligence. Always operating at the level of the need. And so on down the line, the perfect qualities of God are your qualities. But they occur in a timeless world. The time world cuts them off. The space world cuts them off. And it limits your brain to concepts of things in time and in space. Let's take a child who receives this kind of love. It's an unusual kind of love. It doesn't smother the child. It doesn't instill in him human ambitions. It liberates him from all ambition. It frees him from all those things which would make him say, mine, and I want. And in turn, he receives the infinite love that God has to bestow. We don't see too many children like that. But they're coming. They're already in the making. And unless universal hypnotism comes into their home to hypnotize their parents, these children will grow up with a kind of love that the world has never seen. We have that to give to them to show them that it is possible. If we all think we're operating at our maximum, we'll be surprised to find that our maximum is not even 1% at the present time. We can all do 100% better than we do. But we can't do it by repeating our human errors, by repeating our human ambitions. We must turn over the complete leaf and try to operate from the new level of spirit. Are there germs in your body? They're not in a spiritual body. Do you still feel the impulse to do what you know is wrong? Those impulses don't come to a spiritual body. Do you still look at your fellow man and decide you'd rather be in another neighborhood than he's in? You'll find that your spirit recognizes itself in your neighbor and lifts him up to the level of spirit when you do not act like a mortal. You will find there are hidden treasures in everything, because the reality of everything is spirit. Let's live in the new world and find out that it's the kingdom. The only one who will determine that is ourselves. If we wait for our neighbor to do it, it will never happen. I want to live where God wants me to live. God wants me to live in His kingdom. And I want to live in His kingdom now, so I can't go anywhere. I've got to recognize His kingdom where I am. And then I've got to insist that my own behavior lives at the level which lives in the kingdom. And I will find heaven here and now. And I will live in the kingdom of God here and now. And I will manifest the things of God here and now, provided that I say to the Christ of my being, take over, because I can't do it. I've never met a man or woman who can do it without the Christ. If we had the Christ, we wouldn't be talking about no time and no space. We wouldn't have to. We wouldn't have to talk about crime on the streets, or poverty, or any of the activities in the world that are ungodly. So we're going to make our universe a God universe. And we're going to live in it as God children. We're going to train our children to live in it with a knowledge of truth. And this takes 24 hours a day. We're going to lift the errors of the world and reveal the kingdom of heaven on earth. I think God is counting on you to be among the advanced guards, the true ambassadors of this divine word. I don't know who would be the one that God would rely on if so many people are unaware of truth. But we have more than an inkling of it. And all we need is the courage to follow through. You won't have to upset a home to do it. Spirit isn't that way. You live in truth, that's all. You don't have to influence anyone to do it. But you live in truth. Inject that into your household. where you are living in the Spirit of God and observing everyone in that house in the Spirit of God, getting into the habit of seeing the Spirit of God in everything, looking for it. And when your patient calls you, that's the habit you bring into that meeting. Matter meets spirit. And spirit says, no, you're matter. And then matter changes its concept, finds its improvement. And in time, you may find a lot of people who once thought they were material human beings doing things that a material human being doesn't do, whether they call themselves spirit or not. We're going to look at ourselves again. I want you to see, like a purse, like a lady's purse, just take out of your mind your beliefs and lay them invisibly in front of you. Do you understand that a person who has a physical problem is not really aware that he has no physical body? And therefore, his physical body shows forth the problem. Do you understand that a person who fears death is really afraid of losing his body? The body he doesn't have. You see, the core of all human fear is the flesh. Do you see that same individual, knowing that he has a spiritual body right where the physical body appears, but that the spiritual body is not this size, this shape? It is infinite. And his worry about a mole on his left arm is kind of ludicrous in the face of his infinite spiritual body, which does not have any defect. Now, you're not going to teach him that, but you must have that knowledge. You must know that his spiritual body is perfect while he's trying to heal his physical body. And his physical body is just a concept about his spiritual body. And the concept is in his mind. It isn't there. You're not trying to heal his physical body. You're not even trying to heal the concept in his mind. You're simply trying to live out the truth of Christ. And slowly or fast, speedily, through your awareness of truth and your spiritual development, the idea comes into his mind that he feels better or well or right. And it happens quickly or very slowly, but if you are persistent, it will happen. And when you see enough bodies reacting to your teaching and your faithful rendition what Christ gives you to do, you'll realize that Spirit is doing the work. I want to go with you a little further. Knowing yourself to be infinite. In infinity, you can't touch your toes or touch the top of your head and say, "That's me." You can't realize that you're infinite with this little mind. And with a 2.5 ounce or 3 ounce brain. So what are you going to do to realize it? You'll never realize infinity with human thought. Why does the Bible keep insisting that you take no thought? And why do you keep insisting that you must take thought? Your limitations are in having a human brain, no matter how brilliant it is. We're learning how to transcend the human brain and the human body and all of the things in between which have to do with human ambition and pride and so forth. And that when we have a soul recognition of the infinity of being, in that 1 second, we have traveled 1,000 years. From that you rise to the Christ mind. Which is the creator of the true universe. And everything the Christ mind sees and hears and becomes aware of is reality. And there's not an ounce of discord in that reality. All the discord that we know is the counterfeit thought of the world brain and the human brain. So that several illusions away is reality. The world brain creates the illusion. The human brain then alters the illusion. But it doesn't change the reality. You can count on what is to always be what is. It is always ising. And the moment you touch is, you touch now. Because reality is now. Do you think in your recollections that you have ever experienced the living now? Travel through your experiences for a moment and try to recall what happened when you touched the living now. What triggered it? What made you suddenly see with such utter clarity that you know you weren't seeing with your brain or with your mind's eye or with your eyes? You saw right through all the clutter that the world could throw at you, and you saw something with such utter clarity. That was a divine experience, but what triggered it? There are such moments, and in that moment you can see the equivalent of 1,000 years in 2 seconds. Because time has been moved out of the way. And something not in this world appears to you. It's called a vision. But there's psychic visions and there's a soul vision. In the soul vision, you get your first hint of reality. Is this worth laying aside the toys of humanhood to live in the world where peace reigns? Where bombs don't drop, where there are no labor struggles, where crime doesn't enter the streets. That kingdom is right here. You are walking in it, and you may be experiencing some of it. Some of our students are quite advanced. They walk in the kingdom at times, and their reports are that they have seen the light. They have seen a sun behind the sun. They have seen the army of angels that are spoken of as the hosts of God. We want to transform the visible world of illusion into the reality that it is masking. Every little bit of progress we make makes possible more progress. In New Horizons, Joel's chapter, we're given a hint of that, of the new world behind the old world. In New Jerusalem, we're given more of a hint. And these were two chapters that Joel wrote based on his... In fact, they weren't in the original infinite way, were they? At that time, he hadn't envisioned what came to him. But he did write the chapters into the infinite way when he was lifted out of the mental world. The delight of an individual who reaches that level is so great, so profound, that human pleasures are nothing in comparison. So I urge you to keep on with your study until matter has less of a pull upon you. Keep on with your material life transforming it daily to the best of your ability. And if you can, let the people call you for help. Because in giving them their help, you have to achieve a degree of what I've been describing. And by giving them their help successfully, you will have achieved that degree. And it's a very sensible way to accelerate your spiritual progress. We're going to close with a meditation. That the material world in time is not there. That means the Atlantic Ocean is not there. The Pacific Ocean is not there. We're looking at a world which is devoid of all material things. There are no planes in the sky. All these are precursors of the spiritual universe that we cannot see, but is seen by some. There is a world in which Moses and Elijah and the Christ Jesus can still meet, can still appear, still talk with bodies that have been on the earth since the beginning of time. If moments of light come to you, liberating you from a way of life that you have been living, no matter how high or low, hold these dear experiences close to you. Share them only with those who can share them with you. We've already had quite a number of those experiences reported during this class, where people have spent a lifetime, but during one or another of these classes, they had an experience. Not a little experience, but an experience which will change their lives. And it's all based on the knowledge that they are spirit. They are Christ. Their neighbor is spirit. Their neighbor is Christ. And now it will be based on the knowledge that time does not exist in God's world, and there is no world beside God's. if you feel a slight movement toward a higher universe, your movement is correct. Blessings of love, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.